The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Craig, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's Footy Prime. It is Friday. You got almost a full crew. JC's not here, but JC will be on the edit. We have Craig Forrest. We have Amy Walsh. We have Jimmy Brennan. We have Danielle Wongerton.
Thank you.
I'm James Sharman. We've got a lot again to talk to. We will get to more FIFA. There's a lot of FIFA to get to. It evolves every day. And by the time this goes to air, it'll probably change again. But still lots to talk about.
The FIFA.
FIFA scenario.
But they are the FIFA now, right?
Yeah.
It's no longer the World Cup.
FIFA. Yeah, you can say the FIFA.
It's just not the FIFA.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. You know what? UEFA's making a stand right now. I'm making a stand. We carry very similar leverage. So it's not the FIFA ever. I want to get to some transfer news as well later in today's show. We'll get to the U20s real shortly. Off the top, though, I do want to talk about Ali Ahmed. ACL in preseason for Norwich. Ali's done for the year. Just brutal news. On Instagram, he posts, this one's a tough one to process right now, but everything's written, and what's meant for you will reach you even if it's beneath two mountains, highs and lows. From a World Cup at home to this, moments you will never forget, to a test you never expect. Craig, just heartbreaking news for Ali Ahmed, who was coming off such a great start to his Norwich career. Going only one way, his career. Huge part of Canada as well. Out for, the best part of a year now.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate. I mean, he's done so well there, and it's one of the part and parcels of the job. Obviously, we see people get injured all the time, and ACLs are more common in the women's game. We see that even more frequently, which is just awful, but it's interesting how, I was thinking, seeing comments about Ali, and it's all positive. Like, they love him and want him back and all that kind of stuff. But people forget about the human side of things. And here's a guy that's now have to deal with this. And it's a struggle sometimes for players to try to get back. But people are like, oh, could he be back for the Gold Cup? Could he be back? All these different things. And it's like, my God, does it really matter? I just want to see him get back to full health. I mean, because that's not a guarantee. It's not. I mean, in the modern day medicine, obviously, we see things like that happen all the time, but it's not a guarantee, So let's hope he gets back to his full health and he gets through this as unscathed as he possibly can mentally and physically, and he gets back and does a good job for Norwich in a 8 to 12 months' time.
Are we seeing more of these? Jim,
Not statistically, no.
We're not, right? No, it's just football. It happens. I mean, women's game, obviously, like you said, we're seeing a ton of them. But if Canada, it's three now in the last couple of years, right? Liam Miller, Fonzie, and now Ali Ahmed. Just seems a lot. I mean, it's... Jimmy, do you
Flores mean, as well.
Oh, Flores, of course. Flores, Jesus, four of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot for any team.
You know, this is the the darker side, the lonely part of football is when you get these long term injuries. These are the ones that emotionally really pay a toll on you, and it's the difficult part where every day you're coming in, the players are in, you hear the banter in the dressing room, they're out training, you're sitting in the physio room, they go home, you're still there getting your treatment. It's a lonely. Time for a player. And you don't wish it upon anybody. And this is it's going to be a long one. And hopefully he's got a lot of emotional support that's going to be there with him. Because you got to remember too, I don't know whether he's there by himself or maybe he does have a partner. But if you don't have a partner and you're by yourself and you're at home at nighttime, just sitting on the couch, icing your legs and just thinking, what is going on right now?
Yeah. Up at 6 for a swimming session.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's the part I think that we forget. Like when we're prognosticating and we're thinking about the impact to Norwich, we're thinking about, or like pundits, fans, you're thinking about the impact for Canada. Forrest alluded to it. Will we be back for the Gold Cup? Will we be back for this date? Everybody's forecasting forward for best case scenario for his healing, his timeline for his return to play and his full health. But the immediate concern is the person, is the human, is the mental state of Ali Ahmed. And you hope that he's well surrounded, and the club certainly will make allowances for that. I don't know if you guys saw the club posted this, that his friend who arrived at Norwich at the same time, Mohamed Touré, made a request to switch to Ali's squad number for the next season, and the club have subsequently approved of it. And I thought that was a lovely gesture, you know, by him. And so they're like, we know that Ali has a long road ahead of him. It's unfortunate that he can't be with us on the pitch, but in switching to his number for the season ahead, this is Touré obviously speaking, I want him to know that he has all of our full support and love. So I thought that's a lovely way to kick off what is surely going to be a difficult time for him.
I would have said no. what if he lights it up, scores 15 goals? You're not getting your number back.
That's why he moved clubs a lot, Jimmy.
But yeah, you're right. Maybe he just wants number. That's a great way to get it.
Yeah.
All right, listen, it's lovely. It is. Do we need this? Really?
Yes. No, we wouldn't do it for you, Charles.
If Ali didn't want it, he
does it make a difference to Ali, really?
Yeah, it does.
It does?
Sharms, if you go down and move it in with Tony, I'm like taking over. Going to start making pies.
Dubs the host more. Just for the year, though.
Yeah, just for the year. With all the benefits, with all the negatives, too. But I just want to talk about what Craig just said. He's totally right. The raw injury incidence per 1,000 match hours has remained stable. But because of the sheer volume of total matches per player, the risks are you obviously have more exposure. So going back to how many matches these guys are playing, like think about if we were just thinking, oh, Messi, I know it's easy to talk about Messi because he's playing in almost every league game, every trophy game. Every World Cup, every
the trophy games.
Well, I don't know what those are. What are they? The league trophy. What is that?
The league cup games.
League's cup again. Yes, it's back. I saw it on Apple. I just forgot it.
What a shite tournament.
Yeah. Craig Forrest available for announcing on MLS. Yeah.
just another trophy game.
Yeah. Some people play in it. Some people don't.
Yeah, but it goes back. Yeah, it goes back to what Dubs always talks about with how many matches, and everybody's always what is the right amount of matches for these players now, and
less than what they're playing.
Yes, well, especially if you don't have a deep team, you know, it's easy if you're PSG, you sit there and you go, oh well, we're going to put in another whole new line. Same with City and Arsenal. It's these teams who are fighting for the next step up. All right, your players, your top players, going to be playing a lot more, right, Craig?
Yeah. No, from a club standpoint, depth is a huge thing. And Norwich City obviously are the richest club in the world, but they'll be probably looking in the market to see how they can support with another body coming in or something like that because of this. I mean, that's just the nature of it as well. And then if that person comes in, a player comes in and absolutely lights it up, now all of a sudden when you come back, you've got competition for that spot again.
Yeah.
That's part of the mental and emotional toll on the player, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worrying about your spot when you get back, when you finally get healthy. When is that going to be? When I get back, will I be at my best? Will I be what I was? Will I still be ascending if you're Ali Ahmed, you know, where you land in at Norwich City after having a successful campaign at Vancouver, kind of arriving on the international scene, being a consistent starter with Canada? Will all of that still be there? when I get back to full fitness? And what does that look like again? Right? It's it's a lot to contend with for sure. And I just wanted to weigh in to what you're talking about, where it's not statistically more when you're looking at injuries, you know, per the amount of games that these players are playing. I would argue that we have yet to see the impact of the congested fixture. You know, and like the status of a typical professional player, whether you're a man or a woman, and the amount of games that they're playing with their national teams, with their clubs, with these cup competitions, I think it will show up down the line.
Yeah, they're pushing these players more and more all the time.
And that makes sense.
Sorry, and the other thing about that too, like you talk about where Ali is. In and where he's what he's gone through over the summer, the excitement it will never get better and higher for excitement than he's gone through in the last 4 or 5 months, like with his move to Norwich and everything and the World Cup. I mean, and then all of a sudden now he's sitting in his place, he's looking at his knee thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Guy's like, you want to switch numbers? He's like, whatever, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna watch Coronation Street.
Well, we heard about Liam Miller talking about his struggles mentally when he did his knee. Right. And we hear about this stuff after the fact. So like you said, you hope that Ali's got, and I'm sure he has got a lot of support around him, because these are going to be the tough days, like Jimmy mentioned there. His last 90 minutes, though, in a match, just to go over some data here and how much football these guys are playing, was April 11th, his last 90 minutes. He played 83, 28, and 45 to end the league championship season. He was on the bench for the Uzbekistan friendly, 29 minutes against Bosnia, 71 against Qatar, 58 against Switzerland, on the bench for South Africa, forgot about that, and then 78 against Morocco at the World Cup. But it's a training as well. Is it a fact, Jimmy, that, okay, they may not all be playing every game, right? They are not playing every single match, but it's the training, there's less rest days. Is that part of the issue here with how much football these guys are playing?
No, I think with sports science, they cover it very well. I think at times they overprotect the players. It's not like, you know, you look back in the day where guys were just playing and they would tell the sports science, no, I'm playing, I'm going to do this. Now it's, everything's monitored. They look at their loads, how much they're training. Training sessions as well. They've got the little iPads that are sitting there. They can tell everything that's going on, how much you've worked, and they can actually pull you out of training and say, that's enough for today, get yourself in. So they do monitor the players and they protect them as much as they can. So I don't know if it's the workload or the games, because when you looked at it like that and you just said how many minutes he's actually played, it's not a lot, is it? Mm-hmm. Over since April 10th.
But that's him coming off an injury. It's not his real, I don't want to say it's not his real data. Those are his metrics. Those are the minutes that he played. But he's obviously coming in and he's not fully fit. So he's being managed in another layer on top of how his load would normally be looked at.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, there might be actually some correlation between having an injury and then coming back off an injury, no matter what that is, and then picking up another one.
Yeah. It's called the Alphonso Davies situation.
Yeah. And everyone, if you're listening, want to watch a new show in England, it's called Correlation Street.
That's pretty good.
Starring Craig Forrest, of course.
Hosted by LeVar Burton. No, that's the butterfly effect.
That's right.
That was a deep cut. Well done. Deep cut.
Butterfly in the sky.
The what?
I can fly places high.
No. You know what? I miss your voice, Dubs. We should play some Big Question themes just to remind us. To some better news, some good news. How about some good news? U20s, they found a way in the end to beat Jamaica off to the semifinals, off to the U20 World Cup, Dubs. Liam McKenzie with two. Max Vergel, oh my. A worldie of all worldies. Gathers a ball, back to goal, on the volley, swings his big left foot through that ball. Want to marry that goal. do terrible
you
things
to do something else.
You want to marry it?
Oh, the
Mary,
when I
marry, marry that, marry kill, kill fuck. No, I want to fuck that goal. I don't want to marry that goal. Like the way that it came across, and I don't know these players as well as the senior players, right? So you're getting to discover these new talents. So when that ball pitched and he's waiting for it, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, attack the ball. And I was like, oh, like as it's happening, I was like, you're waiting for it to go on your left foot. And the way that he angled his body and he was patient and he just waited for it to drop, like the perfect moment. What a hit that was. Like that was the icing on the cake, right? Because it, like, Forrest was watching it. I tuned in. I was out with my kids. We watched the second half and the extra time. And so, yeah, it was brilliant because it always looked like they were destined to win it, but it was very difficult and they had to manage it. And then I was talking to Forrest. I think they're, who are they without for this contest, which is going to be at the Azteca? It's going to be at altitude versus Mexico on short rest. They went to extra time and they're without one of their big guns as well. So it's going to be very difficult because if they're able to, I think, get help from the U.S. in the other semifinal, they beat Costa Rica and then Canada is able to get through Mexico, then they qualify themselves for the Olympics, for the U23 competition.
That's right.
It's a lot on the line here, but it, like, they're up against it.
Yeah, you want the Americans to win because they're hosting, obviously, with the Olympics. And then Canada beat Mexico, and they're in the Olympic Games as well in 28. It's a big ask. I mean,
huge.
These guys looked absolutely shattered going into extra time the other night. And then they get one day's rest, and they're back at it Friday again against Mexico in Mexico. So
yeah,
it would be monumental. It really would. I fear for them just because the situation they're in, and physically, there's just not enough time off.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you enjoyed that goal. I know you're dying to get into this one.
No, it was a great goal. Great goal. Just the way that he backed up as well, just to line his body. Because I've seen him backing up, and then I was like, is he taking a touch here? Like, what's, I don't understand why you're not going to meet this ball. And then just as he takes three steps back and then just goes forward and puts his hip over top of it, I was like, oh, that's a wonder strike. It was a great goal. It really was.
It's kind of Van Basten-ish, wasn't it? From 88. I mean, nothing's Van Basten because that's maybe the greatest goal ever seen, apart from, of course, Craig's buddy there, Di Canio. Yeah. But anyway,
discussion. I could see Roberto Carlos doing that.
Yeah, on the left-hand side for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe like 20 yards further out.
Yeah. Yeah. It would curl at the end as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was just a thunderfucker, wasn't it?
One of the Jamaicans, the Jamaican guy, had a pop from 65, 67 yards out, like 10, 12 yards inside his own half.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper for Canada was nowhere. Like, he wasn't getting there. It was an unbelievable strike. And the keeper's beaten and it just missed the post. It was like, oh, geez. Like, that would have changed everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, just like you said, great performance. Mexico, like Craig said, isn't going to be easy. We'll talk about that on Monday's show. Is there a chance that Jesse Marsh is going for the Bobby Smyrniotis look by the time the Gold Cup rolls around next year? Maybe he needs... It could be maybe Copa America the year after. There's a lot of growth still needed. But is this what he's doing? It's the looser, more casual Jesse for the U20s, right? Bit of facial. Could we see Jesse? Yeah. But could we see Jesse rocking the Smyrniotis, Craig, do you think, within a couple of years? Is that the plan here?
No. Bobby's the only guy that can pull that off.
Yeah, I don't see Jesse being able to pull that off. Honestly.
The other thing
would annoy him too much.
Yeah, Bobby, we met Jesse with clean shaven. We met Bobby as Gandalf. And if you look at Bobby's old pictures, you're happy it's Gandalf. It's kind of like, you know, those the husbands go and shave their beard and surprise their wives. And it's like, no.
Bobby looks fine without a beard.
No, he does, but it's not. But it's a look, right? Like it's
shocking once you shave it.
It's shocking.
Off.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know who's getting the Bobby comparisons online? Is friend of the show and set piece coach for a men's national team in Southampton, right? In Nicola Gagnon.
Bournemouth.
Excuse me. Bournemouth. Burn in the mouth.
Can't see his mouth.
He's getting some shouts for like 2019 Bobby Smyrniadis. Mm. There's just like the beginnings of the beard.
Maybe I could see that.
Mm-hmm. We do a looky-looky.
Good for Nico, by the way. What a great move for him. I know that he had hoped to be there. Well, I'm not sure it's Bournemouth, but he was offered a job in the Premier League over a year ago, but he couldn't get his visa issues sorted out. Imagine having to turn that job down.
Is that why I'm thinking at Southampton? Was originally with them?
No, he was with Southampton before, I think, wasn't he?
There we go.
Yes, he was.
I can figure out why I was talking about it. Yeah.
He was there before, then he left, and he had another job lined up. I think it's for last season, actually. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it, Jimmy? And then I think the visa issues cost him, so he couldn't go. That's got to be just gut-wrenching, like, my God. But he got a pretty sweet gig at Canada, and now he's off the Bomber, so good for him. Good for him. Try and get back on the show at some point. Nico's a great guy. So, yeah, well done, U20s, and good luck on, is it tonight?
Yeah.
Yep.
10 p.m., right? 10 p.m. tonight. That'll be on
and
one
if you're, listening on Saturday or Sunday, just keep tuning in.
Yeah,
just keep listening. You'll find out.
Should we get to the elephant in the room, the big bald elephant in the room, right now? We can't avoid it.
No,
right? I mean, it's changed since last we spoke. Gianni Infantino and FIFA. So the most recent news is that both Argentina and Mexico have backed Infantino. The plot thickens.
Imagine Argentina backing Infantino. Yeah. Imagine. Yeah,
imagine. What a stretch.
Jesus.
Now, FIFPro is essentially the Union for All Professional Footballers, basically, have come out yesterday with a scathing indictment of Infantino and of FIFA demanding change. UEFA have doubled down on their threat to boycott FIFA events. Doesn't UEFA hold the key here, Dubs? If they want to really affect change and they boycott, unless there is leadership change at FIFA, that's the biggest sword to wield? Wield.
Mm-hmm. To wield, yeah.
To wield right now, isn't it, for anyone? Because if they say, starting with Women's World Cup next year, we're out. Our teams aren't playing. I don't know what option FIFA would have.
But it would be even more pressing. It wouldn't be next summer. It would be September.
Right, with the qualifiers.
For the qualifiers? Do you even have the qualifiers if UEFA is not going to participate in the Women's World Cup in 2027, but the U20 Women's World Cup is in September? So but you can't do one and not the other. If you're going to boycott, you boycott.
Yes, but I'm just saying, but the Women's World Cup carries a lot more weight than the U20s.
That's the big sword of which you speak. I see what you're saying.
Right, the biggest sword. We got a dagger. Yeah. It's a sharp
like a
dagger.
Or like a shiv would be like the U20s maybe. Yeah,
yeah, form that out of a toothbrush in your jail cell.
Yeah, that's right. It came in a cake. Maybe baked by Gianni.
Probably a cake.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, but I think regardless of what competition we're talking about, I think, again, I mentioned in the last podcast, it really upsets me that it's the Women's World Cup. I mean, it's this the nature of the cycle. The Women's World Cup always happens a year after the Men's World Cup. So
three years before,
or never, depending on your relationship. Right. But I mean, it's really shitty that this is what is kind of on the chopping block, as it were, to continue with our knife analogies. Yeah. That this is well done. What is going to be at stake. So I that wasn't deliberate.
I know,
but I think UEFA, yes, they are kind of the crown jewel if you're looking at the confederations in FIFA. So if they are willing to push, and then Sharms, you sent that link and I watched it. I think it was the BBC, and then a reporter who is in the know said that, you know, the emergency meeting that happened in Rabat in Morocco, everybody wasn't there as part of the executive committee. So it was selective support for Infantino to keep his seat as president. So there's a lot of cloak and dagger happening, right? Like a lot of information that's being pushed out, that's being selectively kind of chosen by Infantino to say, I still do have the support. And then, yes, the Argentinas and the Mexicos have come to the fore, even though CONCACAF was also adamant in their stance that they were against it, especially as it applied to the FFE. But I think they're just seeing it as, this is unacceptable. Like, this is just not enough to pull this plan to put a stake of FIFA for sale. It's just, we have to see legitimate and sort of tangible change in a way that you're leading, and they're not convinced that that's happened yet.
But Jimmy, I mean, all valid points, but Argentina, Mexico, they're heavy hitters. They carry a lot of weight, although it's just one vote each, right? No matter who you are, whether you're San Marino,
one vote. And the thing is, too, when you look at Argentina, they had 27 million people that signed a petition to ban them from FIFA. So they're probably going the other way, going, you know what? F you all.
Yeah, doesn't that follow suit with Argentina and the way they played the World Cup? These pricks, the most unlikable team. And now, well, you know what, world? How about this? Mm-hmm. We're backing Infantino.
Yeah, because even more now.
Yeah, they're an unlikable group.
They really are.
They really are.
I keep thinking about how and if boycotts have ever worked in sports. Now, this is a little different because we're talking about huge blocks of countries who are attached to confederations and federations. But, you know, the most recent ones I can think of are the 80 and 84 Olympics.
82.
Where, pardon me?
80, sorry, you're right. 80, sorry.
Yeah. 80 and 80. Yeah. So 80 with the Western countries or the Western bloc saying no, except England. I think that's when Alan Wells won.
Alan Wells, you last, good one, Wonger.
Yeah, I know my hundred.
White man wins 100 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, boy.
The slowest time. Just throwing it out.
14. Not saying anything.
It was just not a strong field in 1980, and 1984. It was a strong field, but Canada did amazing. We were like, it was like Pan Am Games.
Ben Johnson again. Got a medal in the 100 there. People don't.
Yeah, he got a bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is, it didn't really work. But I'm not sure how Infantino Dubs got a lot of props by saying he is not giving up his crown. Infantino is not giving up his crown, right? And he's going to sit around and see what's going to happen. And he's fighting till the end. He's mm-hmm. doubling down, tripling down. Thanks again, Gianni Infantino, and your huge ego for giving us such great content. But do boycotts work? And have they worked in football, in soccer? Have we seen this before?
That's a good point. There's always threats, isn't there, over the years, threats of boycotts, which never actually result in boycotts.
No, because most times the deals get done before the boycott, because they can't afford to risk having a boycott.
What? Canada soccer players boycotted, didn't they, Dubs, mm-hmm. a couple of times?
Yeah.
To affect change. Mm-hmm. It was that.
I mean, if you come in times. With big numbers like UEFA, 55 countries, that would have a lot of power to it. Individual countries that decide that they want to threaten to boycott. Then if the government get involved, remember, that's not a good thing. Technically.
Mark Carney did. Right? Mark Carney spoke out about it. He wasn't involved, but he did comment. He said that Infantino is not someone that he trusts, essentially, is what he said. So did Andy Burnham, the new UK Prime Minister, as well. Mm-hmm. So could that be considered getting involved?
That's more of an opinion, isn't it? Because it's not actually getting involved. What's getting involved is when you get a red card rescinded.
That's political interference for sure. Yeah. But Argentina could be backing Infantino just simply to make the disciplinary proceedings against them following the final versus Spain to make that go away.
Suddenly, Prater's hasn't got a red card?
Or, you know, just what they've been investigated for, right? Like everything that happened versus Spain. So it's the disciplinary and ethics prosecutors assessing what happened at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. And, how long does that take? I mean, come on.
Like, I know. It'd take forever.
Make a decision, but you wait.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so dirty. It's all so dirty. I mean, no one's clean here. Right? UEFA And you know, from what we understand, what you see in our thoughts and Infantino, okay, good, they're making a stand, but they're not clean. They're as greedy as the next man. Or woman. Sorry, Dubs. Could be very greedy women as well.
It's true.
Include them there.
That's why it's, there's so much more. There's, I mean, you can just imagine the phone calls and the backroom negotiations happening right now, right? It's grotesque what's happening. And like you said, yeah, he's going to fight. Sorry, bloody cat here. He's going to fight until the end, probably, because it's Gianni Infantino. Speaking cat, get out the...
Game of Thrones. Yeah. Oh, nice ass shot.
Yeah.
So, thanks for that. Cat.
Anyway, sorry. Rusty Penny.
Fuck her up.
And now my mic's going to pull
up. Is that a balloon nut?
Rusty Penny, I've never heard that one.
But the fact that Fifth Pro have come out, they do willpower, right? It's a good with a Luis Figo has come out strongly with a scathing indictment. He's one of the guys you always see sitting there with the legends there with about, you know, 17 Brazilians at all the big games with Gianni, their king, at the front. But they're not backing him as well. Africa, a lot of those teams have supported him. Morocco, Egypt, Nigeria, Mauritania coming out publicly. He has got backing, but... You know, you don't often vote on block, so to speak, but UEFA has, is it 54, Craig, you said? Or Jimmy, 54?
Yeah, 55, I think.
55, right? Okay, yeah. And CONCACAF have how many? Combined, it's like, what, 90
35, votes? 41, right. I think 35 have votes.
Okay, so around 90 with those two blocks, if they vote on block, right? You need 106 to affect presidential change at the elections. 106. So there's a lot of... possible change there on both sides.
Wasn't Asia leaning towards Europe in CONCACAF as well? I thought they were a part of it.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as strong a statement as UEFA nor CONCACAF, but yes.
Well, CONMEBOL were quite strong as well. I mean, they didn't call out FIFA necessarily, but they did call for change as far as governance. But then Argentina and went kind of rogue as they do.
Yeah,
with this comment.
And how does this work? I mean, you're going to get to a point where you have to have somebody else make the statement that I'm going to put myself forward for this position, whether it's Victor Montaliani or whoever else. Like, somebody's got to make that actual statement. Nobody's done it yet because it is that Game of Thrones thing where everybody's like trying to position themselves. Nobody wants to put themselves in a bad position and be on the wrong side. So if you back the resignation of Infantino, and then he stays. Now all of a sudden, you're exposed because he's going to try and get your ass out. So what do
individually,
you do? What do they do? Like, what, I don't even know what the position and what Victor's game plan would be, even if he wanted to put himself forward. I don't know.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know, like karaoke, where someone's like, "Oh, hey, get up and sing." You're like, "No, look, I'm not going to sing. I don't want to sing. No, I don't want nothing to do with this." And then all of a sudden. Okay, you're up. Okay, no problem. I'm ready.
You've got the backing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Who's dying to get up, but it's kind of like, no, I'll play coy. No problems. Then all of a sudden, the song comes on. It's sprinting up to the mic.
You hear the beginning of Tainted Love, and all of a sudden, you're up. You're on stage.
But half the crowd hates Soft Cell.
Right?
Oh, this might go one of two ways here.
Yeah, and I was just thinking what Craig was saying. Oppositely, you would... also want to be oppositely. Yeah, oppositely. It's an awkward adverb.
What's the opposite of opposite?
Is it a word?
Yeah.
What's the opposite of opposite?
Aligned? Mm-hmm.
Together?
Yeah. Anyways, if you're not coming out with a statement, you also want to be the country or confederation that holds the vote, so you can, I mean, this is a craven game, right? You want to be able to negotiate everything you can for that vote to either displace Gianni or to bring him back from the ashes in a fiery phoenix kind of way, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, the politics are starting already, and you're going to see countries going, waiting right to that final vote to go, what are you going to give me? right?
Yeah,
right. Ugh. Like, say whoever, you know, XYZ puts it forward to go, okay, I think I've got the support. I've talked to everybody, you know, all these islands and everything. And then you go, okay, I'll put myself forward. And it's like, where the fuck is everybody?
Everybody's vanished.
Yeah. They're like, I thought it's I like had your support. What? Sorry. Bad connection.
Just it's like you're fighting a bully, right? You're like, let's go, guys. And you're the leader. Then you look around. You're like, what the, you sons of bitches.
You will get them, Wonger.
It takes a certain person to thrive in politics, eh? Who would want that life?
Yeah.
God, it's grotesque.
You need to have that, unfortunately, in your locker, don't you? Like, I mean, as well as the football aside of that, you have to be able to maneuver your way through those types of situations.
Even the good guys. Well, perceived good guys, you know, everyone's got an opinion, but the people that we like, they got a side to them. Push came to shove, they haven't got your back. They're watching out for number one.
Well, speaking of watching out for number one, like in Argentina and Mexico going rogue as single member associations supporting Infantino when their confederation has gone out and condemned the actions of the president, which is basically him going rogue himself, right? Not consulting anybody in his executive committee and just doing this and going ahead with it and having to walk it back. What happens now, say for Mexico and Victor is president of CONCACAF and vice president of FIFA? How do you reconcile all of that? How do you move forward when one of your own member associations has distanced itself from the confederation stance?
Oh, good, great point.
Do you need a short memory or a long memory? I don't know. One or the other, right? Either you say, you know what? Yeah, that's politics. Whatever, that's in the past. Let's move forward. Or I'll move forward, but I'll actually never forget. Mm. And I will hold a grudge.
You mentioned elephant in the room. It's Infantino to kick this discussion off, and it's memory like an elephant, right? Not like a goldfish in politics and in football, right? Because if you get burned by somebody, you can guarantee that they will not forget that, and they're going to be out to get you. So like, you put your name forward, and then that's when they fuck off.
But Dubs, you make a good point with the Mexico stepping out, and if they went rogue, but even CONCACAF coming out with a statement so quickly, had they had everyone coalesced to agree to this?
Oh, yeah.
That's and a good point.
You know
That's
what I mean? And point. Is that going rogue? So someone's saying, hey, I'm speaking for my entire confederation and I'm going to say this. Did he have input from a Mexico who is, as we've talked about, you know, always going to be one of the top players in CONCACAF and in the world football. So did they go rogue by going early?
I wouldn't and not imagine getting
that, it? Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine they would go rogue because they can't, right? I think they probably looked at it and thought, okay, we've got the majority of the nations here are on one side, so we're writing on behalf of that.
Because Victor takes a lot of phone calls that day.
Because you've got to think, Vic represents all the countries.
Yeah.
He can't just come out and write something on behalf of everybody. But if he's got a majority ruling, then he could say, I'll send out a note on our behalf.
Is it a simple majority, I wonder? Is it a simple majority? And that Zoom call, hands up if we're going to go against Infantino here. Yeah. Is it a simple majority? How does that work? looking to the guy beside you.
Somebody accidentally puts on the filter of the cat.
Do you see that?
In the pandemic, remember?
Yeah.
The guy has to do like an online Zoom for like hearing.
Sir,
you've got a filter of a cat. He didn't know how to take it off.
And he goes, I'm not actually a cat. I'm sorry, I'm trying, but I'm here, I'm live. I'm not actually a cat.
Sir, you're within a whisker of contempt of court.
That might be Dubs' best ever.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Tip your waitresses. I'll see you later. Leave on a high note.
Can't claw your way out of this one.
What was our question?
That's our question. It doesn't matter. Let's go. That's that social clip.
Okay.
One, two, three, one. Ring, ring. What's that sound? Big question that needs answering. What was the question again?
It's good.
Now, what was it?
What was it?
Did they go early? Yes. Yeah. Did they go early? And you know
guys,
what?
You guys usually do.
We may. Jeez. Poor Dubs.
So I've heard.
All I'm saying is poor Dubs experiences.
That's no, I'm talking about your significant
How do you
others.
Know what we're doing? How do you know?
Did who go too early?
Yes. And then do we have to.
No, who? I'm asking the
confederations. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. Did they go too early? Because now we have to, line by line, word by word, read what they're saying within that communication, right? Within that, hey, we're sending it out. We think this. Did he say he needs to be stepped down? Like, I forget now what CONCACAF's statement was, other than we're hurt by the unilateral decision making.
It's interesting. The countries that put, you know, support forward are countries that, no matter which way this goes, they'll be fine. But you're not going to get St. Lucia. Hey, we're going to, you know, we want, Johnny out. You know, it's like, you know, okay, thanks. Like, that goes sideways. That's not going to be good for St. Lucia, you know, that sort
because
of thing.
Because they have benefited since he came in power. In fairness to Infantino, when he first came before the elixir of power ruined him, he did some really good things at FIFA. People forget where it was when he took over. It was not in a good place at all. Yeah. And Victor was a big part of that as well, the Ethics Commission and all that.
I've got to shoot. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Craig, thanks, pal. Chat tomorrow. Or not tomorrow.
Bye for Astro.
Although I'm sure he will. Next week.
See you, bye.
FIFA, this management board statement, the FIFA management board that Dub said that they weren't all even there for, this statement wasn't even, it wasn't apologizing. It wasn't, you know, excusing Infantino. It's just saying our communication must be better. That's what they were saying. We must communicate better next time. That was a mistake. There's no admittance of any kind of guilt here with anything. But I don't know. I know the anti-UEFA crowd are saying this. Just they're creating hysteria here. And they are, probably to a certain point. It's part of the gamesmanship, right? And maybe it's been blown out of proportion. I don't know.
Sharms, what do you think the end game is for, like, other than disliking Infantino, is this going to make football better? Removing
governance him? Change, you mean, at that level? Yeah. I think it has to make some kind of change, whether it's Infantino or someone else. You can't have one person, I'd say, with that power to affect such change by himself, but I guess he hasn't got that power because he tried and he failed. Mm. But there has to be some kind of, I don't know, more emphasis on the board. I mean, there's another report I read this morning talking about after the World Cup, there was a 5-man committee who were discussing this new project, so to speak, 5 for them. And I think 2/3 of that 5 or 2/5 or 3/5, whatever, a bunch of them.
Just 5 of them. A proportion.
Just, dude, there's only 5. You didn't have to throw in a fraction when there's 5
But
people.
A bunch of them were blindsided by at that point. Is my point, right? Okay. That they were surprised. So there was like Infantino and his inner circle of 5. There was a circle within that inner circle who knew about this thing. So maybe 3 guys.
Right.
Because obviously it can't all be Infantino all by himself, but there was 2 or 3 guys who had been talking to Josh Kushner's group about doing this. So I get the circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't know. I'm kind of bored of this now, this topic. Should we move on quickly? How about that?
Sure. What do you want to talk about? Your Salah going to Turkey?
Oh, we can. Yeah, if you want to talk about that. Trabzonspor?
I didn't really? Know how to tell me. Yeah, I didn't know how to pronounce it. What? How do you say it?
Well, I think it's Trabzonspor, isn't it, Jimmy?
Trabzonspor.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds about. I mean, seems underwhelming. No.
Underwhelming. Yeah. That's the word I'm kind of trying to find here. Mm-hmm. Anticlimactic. He was linked with MLS. I mean, Saudi Arabia, you know, the mega, mega money, obviously, of that didn't happen in the end. Why is a question. He didn't have a great World Cup. It wasn't bad. He scored a goal. Egypt has some moments. They were ripped off by perhaps Argentina. But I don't know, Jimmy. Are you surprised that Mo Salah, although not the Mo Salah of even 2 years ago, perhaps, ends up on a Turkish team, but not even Galatasaray, for example, or a Champions League Turkish team? This is a team that's not going to be in the Champions League.
But the club that he's gone to is one of the most historic clubs in Turkey. it's a massive club. And he's still in Europe. He's still be playing possibly Champions League and fighting for titles. I'd imagine that he's gone there, one, because of the lifestyle as well. And it's close to Egypt, and for him to jump across and go back if he ever needs to. And it's a good league, as Atiba Hutchinson knows all about it. Mm-hmm. He was there for years, and he loved living in Turkey. So, yeah, you would expect him to probably have gone to a different team. But, I mean, when you look at it, he's already played in Italy. He's done Italy. He's done England. Didn't want to go to Saudi Arabia. And I think maybe Turkey was the next best thing for him. But he is at a big club with plenty of history.
Reports have it they're the only club prepared to match his wages too at Liverpool.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Might be somewhat motivating for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping for one of these big MLS moves, though. Just it seems like he's in that place.
Who was Sporting? Was it Kansas City that was
Kansas City, yeah.
Egyptian
yes.
owner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and I was hoping for that, and just kind of going, hey, you know, you might not get every one of these star players or any of these star players when they're at their peak, but you know, a year and a half off of it, and we still see Messi doing Messi things on a weekly, on a daily almost. I mean, I would love to see MLS grow into, you know, a top league and be kind of an option right out the door for some of these players. You know, instead of Christian Berhalter heading over to England, right? Christian.
Brother's Christian.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah,
no,
I got it.
I have no idea.
Thank you. You think but, so, though, wouldn't you? You'd assume.
No, but I don't, you know, like I would love to think, hey, we could support his salary in Vancouver and that he could continue being, you know, a great player for the U.S. men's national team and MLS and stay here and maybe make a move within MLS to a bigger team, but not leaving the league. That's all.
But it's the draw, right? You can't compete with that. Even
just
talked
you can't.
About it, right?
Yeah.
That for a lot of these players, the true test for them, no matter how good MLS gets, is to go to Europe.
Right.
And you can't compete with that.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there are going to be roster changes in MLS. That's coming pretty soon. They change into the new calendar next year. It's going to be a real weird season
Larry
next
Bird.
Year. Larry Bird. you know, sorry, for the next 10 years, this podcast, if we're still around. That's what we're saying every time.
10 years. Mm-hmm. I'll be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll be at a home.
Yeah. Just find a quiet place in the corner. We'll wheel you over there to the window and do the podcast each morning, Wonga. But there are
Jimmy
changes
still
coming.
Here? Is he gone? What's happening?
He's still here.
I think he's still here.
To the loo. Maybe he had a... we'll go there.
Yeah, we did have some conversation.
There are changes coming, though. And as mentioned, next year is a real weird shortened season before they switch the new calendar. It's going to be a really fun season, actually, this shortened season, this sprint season, they're calling it, right? But and then, go ahead, Deb.
Sorry, did you hear, though, like that some owners were accused of dragging their feet and that this sprint season would have been perfect for the World Cup ends, you have the sprint season, and then that was the plan, I think, initially. But a lot of owners were reticent to flip the calendar, and then it took longer. And so,
walk me through it, to do it right after the World Cup, because you're already shortening it. And that totally makes sense. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. That's smart. That would have been smart.
Yeah, I think that was the plan.
Well, so too late now.
A lot of them are kicking themselves, yeah.
But they want to find ways to get more big players on these rosters. And when you're in competition with the European season now, from a calendar standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. So a lot of changes coming in MLS in the next little while. So maybe it'll be easier to accommodate Salah.
Who wants to go play in Minnesota in the middle of February? Right?
Yeah, but they won't though, right? It's probably going to be three or four shitty games.
I mean, the northern teams are screwed other than Vancouver and like Seattle, they're pretty temperate. But if you're Toronto,
I don't think it's a big deal. Honestly, I know. I just don't. I think the way they're going to work this thing out, is it August? They're going to be starting like with the regular calendar. So you have and a winter break. It's going to be a couple of games either side. Maybe there's going to be ways around this. I mean, there will be a couple of really
Montreal
postponed games. Put it that way.
Yeah. CF Montreal always is on the road for the first, like, you know, the season starts in March and they don't really show up till the end of April, right? Or around there or something like that.
It's always 6 or 7 or 8 games on excuse me, on the road to begin.
So they're 0-8. 0-8 coming home.
Yes. Oftentimes.
Charms, we have been and we will speak about Toronto FC a little more. I'm going to change that look because that's a little.
No, I just did it because I just kicked Jimmy out there. So because
I wanted to do that one.
When Jimmy returns, we can. Jimmy returns.
But Robin Fraser's having a tough time at Toronto FC, and people want to talk about it. Do you have any insight? I think a stat out there.
Yeah, well, I think his win percentage is it, and again, this is from Twitter. I haven't checked it myself, but it sounds about right. 16.5% win percentage since arriving during a rebuild, and we should remember that. I think part of the problem here with this season is that Keith Pelly said that the rebuild was over back in the preseason. Yeah. That's the problem, and it wasn't. And just maybe a slip of the tongue, it wasn't even close to being over. So I have no insight. I have to turn my TFC antenna back on now as we return to full pod mode. And we'll get some insiders on from TFC. We get Jay
at
some point.
I like that full pod mode. It's actually, it's like, it feels like a superhero thing.
We're not quite there yet, right? We're working on it. We can have some, we still have to discuss our plans.
Yes, exactly.
There's some exciting things coming up, I think, for the podcast. Yeah.
That's better than Infantino because we're going to discuss the plans. We're not just going to enact them.
Yeah, imagine Wonga just showing up one day and saying to everyone publicly, by the way, we're doing this now.
Yeah, yeah. Vote of no confidence.
Oh, but is it a simple majority? There's 6 of us. What if it's 3-3?
Well, it's definitely simple.
Jimmy would go rogue.
He would definitely go rogue. He's the guy making the backroom calls. So what was my vote cost?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening. No, it's not as if we've ever experienced anything like that before.
No, we never have. Charms.
Alistair Johnston, we should talk about very quickly.
Yeah.
The rumors are now they're going to quieten now. A move to Everton is being talked about. £15 million is what Celtic want for a fullback, which is a good price for a fullback. Everton, the reports are, which means they're trying to negotiate, basically. They don't want to pay that much for him. Martin O'Neill says he's spoken to Johnston and he's happy to stay. He loves the club, but he understands why your head would be turned by a huge club, especially the Premier League. Man, I would love, sorry, Celtic fans, sorry, Dubs, and your family, but I would love to see this.
Yeah.
Get Alistair Johnston in the Premier League, the English Premier League, would be brilliant this season.
I agree, but do we think that he would get meaningful minutes? Would he play? That's my concern. It's the allure. We talked about that with, you know, Sebastian Berhalter. If you're playing in MLS and you're a North American player, it's to test yourself in Europe. And now Alistair Johnston's made the leap from a successful MLS campaign, CF Montreal, and then the World Cup in Qatar. And then off the back of that performance goes to Celtic and he's beloved, right? And he's played so well. It just seemed like such a great fit for him, both personality and character-wise, but then also the football suited him and the place suited him. And it was a big club. Like Celtic
looked good in green. He looked good in the uniform, right?
Yes. Yeah. Looked good in a white and a green hoop, right?
Mm-hmm. He looked good in blue in Montreal, though, too, didn't he?
He did,
so blue works as well with Alistair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We saw Sharms' cat's hoop earlier, but we're talking about the green and white hoops of Celtic.
Rusty hoop.
Yeah, so like for Alistair, the player, you want to keep ascending. You want to keep testing yourself. You want to keep improving. So no better place to do that in arguably the best league in the world, right? And I don't know. Like as a Liverpool fan, like I would still love to see him go to Everton. You know, like it would be brilliant. But again, whether you're Casey Stoney or you're Jesse Marsh, he is a huge player. So if you're talking about, you know, Alistair Johnston for Jesse Marsh, or you're talking about Kadisha Buchanan, or you're talking about Ashley Lawrence, she went through a spell where she wasn't playing. It affected her performance with the national team. She was left off rosters. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Alistair Johnston, but the best place for a player and one of your key players is a place where they're playing.
So now, in that case, concerned. Though, Everton, the plan would be him to replace Seamus Coleman. who at the age of 76 has finally hung up the boots. So there's a spot there for him. But I mean, if you ask Johnston, you take that move every day of the week.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But the backup plan is pretty great too. Like you said, he is beloved there. It is a massive, massive, massive club, albeit in a league that, you know, hasn't got the world's attention.
Mm-hmm. But we'll Canadian see what happens. Milk there. Bags famous, right? One of his first press conferences, remember? They're like, "Do you really That's get right. your milk in bags?" He's like, "Yes, yes, I do." But he instantly endeared himself to the pundits, to the journos, to the public. And he was allowed to live with his young wife, and he's not a very old guy, and his dog, and being in Glasgow, he just seemed to love it there, and he thrived.
Trouble is, there's no dog rule in Liverpool. He couldn't bring his dog there. Yeah. Wonga believes me.
I don't know what to believe.
No, there's no there, that is
no. No, I didn't think Liverpool the city, Jesus but I was thinking, yeah,
poodles, Liverpoodles.
Right, Liverpoodles. Yeah,
close though.
I missed it half of this. Did we say how early?
We're not missing much.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, are we going to wrap this soon? I should have.
Cubs jumped the shark with that previous joke.
No, I'm Fonzie on water skis.
Fonzie on water skis. Dubs brought out her leather coat.
All right. Well, we should probably call it. That was a fun podcast.
It was.
Good to be back with everyone.
Are you okay? You've coughed like 3 or 4 times. No,
I don't know why. I'm not sick. It could be the dust from my. I was sawing wood and stuff on the weekend down here, and then there's still some sawdust in the air.
And a congratulations, great, James Sharman. Yes.
On what?
On your background. Dubs we were talking about it earlier, I think 2 pods ago. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you. It looks good, doesn't it?
It's worth commitment to the podcast.
I have a question. So to your left, but visually to your right, is that a bobblehead that you fashioned on top of the World Cup ball?
What it is a bobblehead of the Liverpool great Kenny Dalglish, which was decapitated from his body some years ago in a move. And I can't find the body, but I found the head. So I just put the head on top of the Trionda. It's just resting there.
I like it.
It isn't part of the Trionda. Yeah, it is. It is. I should make a little foil crown for King Kenny. Yeah.
You have good depth in your background. Like, it looks like there's actual space, which is nice.
It is. It's nice, eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got no depth of personality.
Yeah, exactly. Or perception. That's why we're
it's an early start today, and I think it encouraged the puns.
It did. Apologies. It was an early start. By the way, we're thinking about doing a weekly live podcast. Let's just say that to the audience who are still listening.
All sure. 6 of them.
Yeah.
We're thinking about doing a weekly live podcast, probably in the evening. If you're interested in that,
let's go.
And whether you join us, let us know. And on that kind of podcast, we will take your comments live. And that you kind of program the show. That's what we're kind of talking about. We should probably tell Jimmy and Craig and JC about this as well. This is offline conversation.
JC will love it.
Yeah, JC will love it. Jimmy and Craig will go along for the ride. But we're just thinking about this. We have some offline conversations between the 3 of us. I thought that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
So let us know if you'll be into that. Maybe
that also might be news to those 3 that we're having offline conversations.
Well, they are probably. The Jimmy, Craig, and JC offline chat is scathing towards us. It's like CONCACAF and UEFA's little offline WhatsApp group.
Yes, it's like Mexico and Argentina, their offline conversations.
Right. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Anyway, that's a Footy Prime. Listen, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM.
Yeah.
Make it legendary.
Legendary.
Until next time. And listen to the broadcast from yesterday.
Yes.
It was a good one.
It was a good one.
It was a long one because we missed the week prior and there was a lot to get into. The Butler's Bits and Bobs was not just a short segment. as with everything that we tackled yesterday.
Cigna, you got to keep it shorter. So
if you're, well, everybody, not just Cigna, but if you're interested in the full pod, find that on your audio platforms where you get all your podcasts. But what we did is we reviewed week 15, did our best 11, and there's also a great 20-minute chat all about the transfer window and the acquisitions that teams have made, new player arrivals, but what do they still need? And we go through the six teams in NSL, so that's on YouTube. So please find it there and give it a watch. Let us know what you think.
Closing note, if opposite means completely different or contrary, then the opposite of opposite is often same, identical, or similar. Ooh. On that note, we'll chat to you next week, perhaps.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Good to see you guys again.
Mm-hmm. It was. That was a fun show.